thought that was me, and I'm going, oh no. My tummy is hungrier than I thought it was. Dan Moran reminded me he is leaving to be on duty, and keep him and the family in prayer while he is gone. I talked with Jim McDorman this afternoon, and Jim and Mary and Keith and Marty went back to be with Mary and Marty's sister, Chatty Timmons. She is in the very final stages of her battle with cancer. She's losing. Jim said she's no longer really aware of what is going on. There is nothing that they can do at this point except to try to keep her as comfortable as can be. Also, Ray and Penny Harden here are struggling with their health. Ray, of course, has been dealing with cancer and treatment for that. And Penny's got a multitude of problems, and trying to take care of Ray has just been an extra burden. So they also need our prayers. Brother Maurice told me we are going to have a gospel meeting, and we have invited Brother Tim Stevens to come. And Tim always does a good job. What I particularly like when Tim comes is we always twist his arm, which doesn't take a whole lot of twisting, to do some singing and teaching us more about song leading. So we are in the formulation stage. You might put your input into the elders if you want to. Possibly a class on Friday evening for all of our song leaders and all of us to come and see how the song leaders ought to be doing things. The Saturday afternoon, we could have a singing, invite the other congregations down and spend an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, however long, and just sing. And Tim can do a lot of the song leading, and we can join in that. Let the elders know, if you will, on that. That's going to be the very last week of October, October 28th, on Sunday through Wednesday. Of course, Friday and Saturday, 26th and 27th. So keep that in mind, if you will. Turn to 1 John. In my years of reading and studying and teaching on 1 John, I've noticed that depending on which translation you use, sometimes things are somewhat clear and sometimes they're not. I've also read a lot of things that people have believed and taught that they have taken out of 1 John, in which they've really not understood what John was talking about. And of course, any reading of the Bible involves trying to understand what you read. If you're not going to try to understand it, don't waste your time reading it. But we want to understand what it says. So some of the things that we've talked about in interpreting and understanding the Bible, by the way, Bible interpretation is not a big, mean word that is non-understandable. It is simply means to understand. And what you're simply doing is trying to come to an understanding of what the text is. That is what interpretation is all about. And we need to understand the context of what's going on these things. We need to compare sometimes what one writer says versus what he says in another place versus what the other writers say. The Bible does not contradict itself. We need to be very much aware of what the words meant. Not our meaning of it. I'm always reminded of Alice in Wonderland, where he said, words mean whatever I want them to mean. And if that's true, then we have no concept of what anybody is ever saying about anything. No, words have definite meanings. And we need to take some time to understand all of that. That's not what my lesson is about, but it starts down that road. Because one of the last things is to understand the basis of the tenses of the verbs. I don't know where I went. The illustration of that, I think, is the best illustration, is found in Mark chapter 12, where Jesus said in verse 26, regarding the fact that the dead rise again, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the burning bush, how God spoke to him saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And you are greatly mistaken because they didn't grasp the implication of the tense of that particular verb. It's not that God was the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had physically died, God said, I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And the point that we're getting at here is the tense of that verb makes a whole difference in how we are supposed to understand God and man and death and our relationship to all of those things. And so paying attention to this sometimes can make a very big difference. Now, I recognize sometimes it may not make a huge difference, but sometimes it can make all of the difference in the world, as it is here. For Jesus said to them, you're greatly mistaken. This was a big deal. This was a big mistake by not seeing that. And John, in his writings in 1 John, in the Greek language, he was very specific about a lot of the tenses of the verbs. Now, I'm going to try to not make this a boring lesson, but we are going to talk about language. We're going to talk about tenses of verbs. But as you begin seeing how this works, what happens is there are sometimes in the writings of John, John wants us to grasp that the point of what he is talking about overall is a manner of life. How we live. And he's not talking about a specific point in time, but he's talking about the general tenor of our life. And these are ongoing actions. For example, in chapter 4 of 1 John and verse 6, John says, we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. And the interesting thing with that little word, that's the idea of listening. Not to hear once, but to listen, to pay attention to take heed to that which the apostles are talking about. It starts when you're converted. You need to hear what they said on being saved. But then you need to continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. So as we begin seeing that, if we are going to be what God wants us to be, then we are going to have a life that pays attention to, that listens to what the apostles had taught. Another occasion, John uses the word walking. And he uses it in chapter 1 of verse 6 about walking in darkness versus walking in light. Chapter 2, we are to walk just as Jesus walked. In chapter 2 at verse 11, he talks about people that would walk in darkness. And all of those are the idea of a continuous lifestyle. Walking there does not mean walk. It includes walking, but it includes sitting and sleeping and standing. What it's talking about is our lifestyle. And we live a life that is an ongoing word. So we keep what God says. And John says in chapter 2 at verse 3, we are to keep His commandments, verse 4. Keep His commandments, verse 5. Keep His word, chapter 3, verse 22. We are to keep His commandments. Chapter 3 at verse 24, we are to keep His commandments. In chapter 5 at verse 2, we are to keep His commandments. If you've never noticed that before, I just want you to see, whatever else you learn about John, John expected that those that listened to him would keep the commandments of God. And that's an ongoing verb. It's not a doing one thing one time, but it is keeping on keeping the commandments that God has given. Today, tomorrow, next year, 40 years from now. And this is the lifestyle that we as God's people have dedicated ourselves to. We're going to listen to the apostles and we're going to keep the commandments. John uses another word, chapter 2 at verse 6. He talks about us that would abide in God. In verse 17, it talks about those that do this abide forever. In verse 24, he said, we are to let that which we have heard abide in us. And if that which we have heard abides in us, then we can abide in the Son. And that little word abide, again, is an ongoing word. It's not a singular point in time. It is that which encompasses a week, a year, however long you're going to be alive. And so John is trying to indicate what he is talking about in this book is how you ought to live your life. Now, he said in chapter 2, verse 27, we will abide in Him. In chapter 2, verse 28, that we are to abide in Him. But apart from those types of words, which simply indicate in and of themselves, this is an ongoing relationship. What John did in the original language was simply to use different tenses of verbs. When I first started studying language, the idea of the aorist tense completely eluded me because I understood it wrong. I took it to mean past tense. And so I took it to mean that which had taken place somewhere back before now. But it doesn't always have a past tense concept. What it does have is what I've learned to call a punctiliar sense. And that is, it means something that is done and is done. It is that which is accomplished. And there is a contrast. You could represent an aorist tense with simply one big dot. I went to the store. And if all you meant was one time you went to the store, then you could represent it that way. But in the Greek language, they also used a present tense verb. And I also understood that wrong when I first started. I was thinking present tense means now. It's talking about time. But neither of these is really talking about time, but it's talking about duration of events. And so what we're seeing when you read John is that he expects you to understand. And I'm absolutely confident the first century Christians never had to have a lesson on this. Those that grew up speaking the language, this was part of their language. So we need the lesson. And present tense does not mean now, but it means that which is an ongoing, linear action to the verb. And we have trouble trying to translate the difference. Let me illustrate. Aorist tense, I went to the store. Present tense, I am going to the store. So we can try to translate that, but it doesn't give you the clarity of thought. So the Bible translators are stuck. They're trying to help you that don't know anything about the Greek language to understand what John actually said when he talked about these various things. So, the King James and the American Standard Version. Hard to find the American Standard Version, but I'm going to tell you what. Even to this day, it is one of the most accurate translations. You got to put up with some archaic vocabulary. But once you understand the vocabulary, it is one of the most accurate translations that has ever been made, period. And the King James was done before, and they tried to solve this whole problem of the tense of the verbs, and they put all of the ETH endings on the end of verbs. And we read that, and that's Bible language. He that keepeth the word liveth forever and endureth and abideth. It sounds like you have a speech impediment when you read out of the King James. But what most people don't realize is not all of the words have the ETH endings. And what they were trying to indicate is this very point of my lesson tonight. In 1 John 2, verse 29, if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of God. He did not mean that you can do one righteous act and that's the end of this whole deal. What He meant, rather, that this is an ongoing lifestyle. You are a person that continually is doing that which is right. That's the person that you can tell he's been born of God. His life is that which is dedicated to doing that which is right. Yes, there, it's made up a bunch of little single incidents, but the verb tense means you do this today and tomorrow and Sunday and day after day after day. Now, if you were going to take the newer translations, they didn't want to put ETH endings in. So the newer translators were stuck with how do we do this without putting one of those ETH endings on that. And so, for example, in 1 John 2, verse 29, from the English Standard Version or the New American Standard Version, if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness. And immediately now you have a difference here. That what we're talking about is not doing an act of righteousness, but of practicing over and over and over and over again of doing that which is righteous. So they solved the problem differently than the King James did. And if you pay attention, you get this point. Now, the problem comes is sometimes it's not clear. Because not all of the translations were very consistent in how they did this. So I'm going to give you a very good concept of Bible study right now. Get you 5 or 6 different translations and use them all. And when you read in one translation, go ahead and read it in 4 or 5 other different translations. And what you begin to see, for example, in chapter 3 at verse 6, the New American Standard says, no one who abides in Him sins. No one who sins has seen Him or knows Him. Now, it has been taught by certain religious groups that when you become a Christian and you receive the Holy Spirit, that what happens then is you are sanctified and you never sin again. Well, that's what it says. If you abide in Jesus, you don't sin. Well, isn't that what it says? And the answer is no. That's not really what it says. So you grab the English Standard Version and it says, no one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. So the English Standard Version saw this present tense verb there. And they were trying to simply show you this is a present tense verb that means an ongoing style of life. Now, the King James, it did its normal old thing. Whoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. And that's just hard to read out loud publicly. You almost have to hesitate after each one. Abideth in Him and sinneth. But if you pay attention to this little thing, you can take your American Standard Version and every time you see that ETH ending, you can go, ah, John was trying to teach me something here and he was teaching me about how I live my life. And if I'm going to abide continually in God, I will not practice, I will not keep on sinning. Will I sin occasionally? Absolutely. But that's not your lifestyle. That is not the way that you normally conduct yourself. So now, look at how this works in 1 John 3 using the King James.
Whosoever abideth him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And what you see on that is it's lifestyle. I am going to abide in God because I am not going to sin in my life. And by living that way, I'm going to be doing righteousness. And those are all just continuous action verbs in your life. But when you grab the New American Standard, it's not consistent that you're going to pick this up. No one abides in Him sins. No one who sins has seen Him or knows Him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. You could say, no one who abides in Him practices sin. But they didn't do that. Personally, I think they should have. It would have clarified what we're talking about. And the one who practices sin has not seen Him or does not know Him. That would have been a consistent way of translating that. But they didn't. So you as a Bible student simply need to get you a New American Standard, an English Standard, an American Standard, a King James. And if you don't have one, go down to Bookman's and look through the used shop and you can pick them up for a dollar a piece. And everybody can find these and use those on their desk. Now, notice in verse 8, the King James says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil." And you already recognize what he is saying. That if you commit one sin, that does not tell you that you are like the devil, you are not a child of the devil, that you are not evil to your core, and you are not opposed to that which is good and that which is righteous. What it tells you is you messed up. But some people sin. They practice sin. They committeth sin in their life. And by doing that, their lifestyle is exactly the same as the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. Now, this is an interesting use of the present tense because it includes the past tense here. From the very beginning, the devil has been sinning and is sinning now, and they will continue. He will continue to sin. And anybody that chooses that lifestyle of practicing sin is of the devil. He is the same lifestyle as the devil. When you read that out of the King James and you're aware of the ETH ending, you see that immediately. But when you read it out, for example, of the New American Standard, the one who practices sin is of the devil. And that's very obvious, present tense. But the second one, they simply were not clear, as they did, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And that's not real. Well, it's true, but he's sinning now. He has sinned from the beginning, and he is sinning now, and he will sin into the future. He simply practices rebellion against God. Notice in verse 9, King James says, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin." That one was a hard one for the King James translators. Where do you put the ETH? Does not committeth sin? And they said, whoa. They said, no, what happens here is we're going to put the TH ending on does. So how do you translate that? Doeth? And what they did was they just made up their own language rules here, but it worked. And what he said was, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot because he is born of God." I'm going to give you a 2-minute timeout. This is not part of this, but I have to do that. Another problem here is the word cannot. And cannot sometimes means a physical impossibility, and sometimes it means a moral or situational impossibility. It cannot be in two places at the same time as a physical impossibility. But a person simply cannot be right with God and sin is a moral impossibility. You can sin But you cannot sin and be right with God. So there's a moral impossibility here. John did not say you cannot sin. It's a physical impossibility for you to do that. What he said was you cannot be right with God and practice sin. But what he says is the reason for that is because God's Word, the seed of God, abideth or remaineth in you. When you've taken that Word and made it your heart and your soul and your mind and your lifestyle, then you will live a life of righteousness, not a life of sin. The New American Standard, again, on the first part said, no one who is born of God practices sin. And that's the ETH. Because his seed abides in him, and I don't know whether that's continual or not, but it seems continual, and he cannot sin. And again, the problem there is, some people have taken that in the idea of a single instance of sin. But John is not talking about a single instance. He's talking about a lifestyle. That a person cannot simply practice sin. The King James in verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest. And the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness, is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. So if you are a child of God, you do not practice sin, but you do practice or keep on loving your brother. I loved him yesterday. Isn't that enough? The answer, no, it's not enough. You are going to love him today and tomorrow and next year, and this is an ongoing concept in your life. The New American Standard, again, got half of this in the showing this. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. I don't know what they could have done differently. I think I would have suggested they put the word practice in there again and just struggle on how they are going to do it, and that way they could be consistent. The one does not practice loving his brother. The one that does not... You see why I keep telling people to go get him an old King James? In many regards, the American Standard, the King James, loveth. And it simply solved the problem once you understand how this works. Notice... they pick this up again in 1 John 5 and verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. I think we need a new battery in this microphone. God hath made him a liar because he believeth not the record that God has. And simply make sure that you see the ETH endings there. And each one of those is talking about a continual process in your life. He that believes on the Son of God has this witness, and he that believeth not God hath made God a liar because he believeth not. Now, here's another funny thing that people have actually done with this. By taking and ignoring the ongoing tense of this and making it a one-time action, they've made it a one-time action that simply cannot be undone or changed. Halftime, change sides. I think that should work better. Now, what I mean by that is, if you believe, you're forever saved. And lots of churches teach that. But that's not what John said in this verse. John is not talking about the moment you believed one time, you were forever right with God. What he is saying is that you need to believe in God. Like we studied in class with Abraham. Abraham believed God. He believed God. God said this, and Abraham believed him. And then in the next chapter, God said this, and Abraham believed him. And the next chapter, God said this, and Abraham believed God. That's the ETH ending of the King James. The English Standard Version, whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. And whoever does not believe, God has made him a liar because he has not believed in the testimony. And again, if you understand the present tense and you know how John teaches, You would draw that conclusion, but other people have simply drawn this is a one-time event. Now, it's not a one-time event that cannot be changed. For example, he that believeth not, well, they talk about once saved, always saved. So I just made a point of using this verse and asking, do you also believe in once lost, always lost? Because one is just as valid as the other on how this works. If at one point in my life I don't believe God, then it's all over and I have no hope of ever changing anything. And the answer is not true. You can change that condition. Those that were, for example, the Apostle Paul was a non-believer, but he became a believer. I don't know about you, but at one point in my life I was a non-believer. I argued against the things that God had said, but I'm a believer now. Something has changed. But I've known people, and we've had those in our own group, that they believed, but they did not continue to believe. They may have believed sometimes for 20 years, and then life tumbles in and they lose their faith. So this idea of believing, as John talked about, is not a singular point of action. It is a lifestyle of faith and belief. And the easiest way I know to do this is use three or four translations, but make sure you throw in an American Standard or a King James and simply pay attention to that ETH ending. In 1 John 5, verse 18, we know that no one who is born of God sins. But he who is born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. I know those that are born of God do, in fact, sin. Periodically. Once in a while. Every so often. But that is not their manner of life. They are doing what is right the majority of the time. So, John says, using the King James, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now you're on the right track. Let's continue action. He that is begotten of God keepeth himself. And it would have been easier to write keeps, but that would have missed the point. And so they put the ETH ending. If you are of God, you practice keeping yourself. You make this a daily part of your life. I am going to be what God wants me to be. And when that takes place, then the wicked one will not be able to touch you on a perpetual basis. You are of God, not of him. So, I want you to get four translations and read 1 John in all of them. And I want you to simply pay attention to these. Because John is talking about, throughout the book, not a point in action, but a lifestyle, a manner of life. And reread 1 John from that perspective, and it'll tell you how we ought to be living. We do not practice sin, but rather we practice that which is righteousness. We believe, we trust continually in the Son of God. We abide day in and day out in the promises that God has given. We keep God's commandments day after day after day, and we listen to what the apostles have taught us about how we ought to live. And this, then, is the manner of life that John teaches in 1 John. And we walk as Christians ought to walk. Now, having said all of that about present tense, let me show you an aorist tense, where it does mean something different. My little children, I'm writing to you these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate. I'm writing unto you in order that you will not sin. That is an aorist. You know what the goal is for you? God wants you to live without sin. He not only doesn't want you to practice sin, the goal is you will always do what is right and you will never do what is wrong. And at that point, I'm discouraged, aren't you? No. Well, why aren't you discouraged? You're not doing what God wants. Because God has already made the provisions for that. And what He said is, when we do commit a sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. So, brethren, John does talk about the idea of committing a sin. But what he says about it is, you don't give up. You come back to God. And God will forgive you of that. But if you dare take up a life of rebellion and sin and unrighteousness, you're in trouble. If you don't continue your faith in God, you're in trouble. But why would you give up? Why would you go back to the pig pen and the dog slop when we can have righteousness and peace and hope? And brethren, we walk with God. Now, if you're here tonight, you can change your condition. You're going to change your condition by believing that Jesus is the Christ and being baptized for the remission of your sins. And the baptism will be done and you're done. But you will then be raised to walk in newness of life, Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. And that's an ongoing lifestyle. And this is the life that John talks about. Thank you for your patience. Get you a King James, an American Standard, a New American Standard, an NIV. Get all of them and put them on your desk and read them all till they fall apart. Then go get four more and do it all over again until the Word of God permeates your very being and you simply walk according to God's Word. And if you're willing to join us in that endeavor, we invite you to come. Together we stand and sing.